Houston, this is N5AOW, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Bob. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope everyone had a safe one. Enjoyed the holiday and got home safe. Okay, this net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on a Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater. 146.655 MHz. Repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net. All interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times and can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Boonville Amateur Radio Club's next monthly meeting will be on January 20th, 7 p.m. at the Dodge Pratt Northam Community Center, 106 Gallery Street. Everyone is welcome to attend. An amateur radio license is not required to become a member. If you're interested in becoming a net controller, please contact a club member and we can set that up. Should a net controller not start the net at 9 p.m., still has not done so after a couple of minutes, please feel free to conduct the net yourself. You'll find the net preamble on our website at www.boonvilleark.com. Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? This is N5AOW, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
KC2WI.
Okay, KC2WI. Happy New Year, Pete. What's going on?
Well, not too much. I see it's snowing a little bit out here now. Not very cold, 25 degrees. I went to Boonville this morning to the Towpath Trekkers hangover run. We had 88 runners. I was surprised it was that many, 88 runners, and about 100 people, I guess, altogether at the VFW. I had a nice get-together, a lot of nice door prizes, and 50-50, I don't know who won, I don't know how much the 50-50 was, but I think we had quite a few dollars in that. And you know, stuck around, put the tables away and that kind of stuff, and I had a guy coming over to drop off the computer, so a few of us that were left went over into the bar, and most of them had drinks, I had a soda, but I ended up coming back here about 2 o'clock, and just when I walked in the door from getting some a load of firewood, I heard the last transmission that before Bob left the repeater coverage, Bob and Daryl were up here and replaced the receiver in Black River Valley Club repeater, so that's back up to snuff. I can hit it back now again with my old ICOM 2AT inside the house, so that's about 1.5 watts on a rubber duck. This old radio never ceases to amaze me. I bought this thing when it had been sitting in the cabinet for years that the club had, and back about 10, it's got to be more than 10 years ago, we auctioned off all the junk. And so I bought this, and I don't know how old the battery pack was, you know, and how long it had been sitting, but I charged it up, and by golly, for the 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever years I've had it, every time I go to use it, I turn it on, it works. You know, every few months or so, when I think about it, I stick the battery, you know, stick the little wall charger in there for a little bit, and just for good measure, and it's still working. And boy, if you remember back in the 80s, which is vintage of this radio, battery packs never lasted that long, so it's pretty amazing, but that's good. It's a nice little simple radio. It's too bad they don't make something like that that you could give a beginner or someone, you know, they're overly complex, I think, but of course it'd be nice if it was a little more than that.
Yeah, I think either I dropped out or you dropped out, Pete, not really sure. Hope I'm getting in on a repeater all right here.
Well, maybe I timed it out, but it didn't seem exactly, I got the Morse code timeout, T-O, but it took a while to come back, so I'm not sure. KC2WI.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You probably didn't catch my return on it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you didn't let it drop, reset the timer. That's what happened. That might have happened. So, no, I didn't hear your reply at all.
Yeah, I was saying that I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, I had a couple of handhelds, and they were Wilsons, and they were good, but it seems like the batteries fell short after about a year, maybe a year and a half. So I think the one you have is doing real good. If it's lasted that long and still holding up, you got one of those that are infallible.
Well, it's possible that this was a replacement pack that was, a little better technology than the original or an insert, but I don't see that it it's a genuine ICOM thing, and it doesn't look like it's been opened, although I haven't looked real close. But yeah, I had my original Kenwood TR2400, and that was, I don't know, I bought that used, so I'm not sure the technology on that one, but that was like the first microprocessor controlled 2-meter radio. I had a big open the door and take the pack out and unplug it kind of thing, and they were AA NICADs. They didn't last real long. I'd rebuilt that a couple times. Then I had Kenwood 2500. Other than that, when I had to, take the thing apart and get a battery insert, or you'd zap it when one of cell shorted out. And then, I think the next one after that was okay. It was an ICOM 2480, a little more modern technology. But boy, the old ones, you always was doing it. So I'm not sure why, but I lucked out here.
Certainly sounds like it, and it seems to hold up whenever you have a QSO going. So, that's good. I'll tell you what, there are times you get some good ones, they just seem to go on forever. And since they had the NICADs, I think they've done a lot better with the nickel metal hydride, and they last better. Now they've got the newer style yet, I forget what they call them, but they really outdo all the ones, all the predecessors. So, yeah, that's quite the thing to have one that lasts, especially, if you're using it fairly regular, and maybe that's the key to it, too. Just needs to be charged up more often.
Well, I don't think I've ever used it and ran the battery right down. I don't use it much. I just occasionally pick it up and use it for a few minutes. But, even that, just letting it sit in the old days, that would, eventually they'd go bad. But these never, it's always charged. I don't know about fully, but it's amazing. I'm not complaining. I've never used it, for hour, a very long time, done a lot of transmitting on it. But I've had it turned on for quite a while, so I don't know. Well, it looks like we're getting a little snow now. We were supposed to get snow tomorrow, and unfortunately, it's supposed to be Saturday night, Friday night, Saturday night, whatever, it's going to be like sleet, and I think it's a half to three quarters or three quarters to 1 inch of precipitation, which means, rain, sleet, moisture equivalent, I guess, but I hate this weather. I absolutely hate this weather. Either it should snow, stay cold, snow, get, I don't care if there's 10 feet of it, or it might as well just stay warm and have no snow at all, but the have to clear it off, and then, you know, because you never know if it's all going to melt the next time or if it's just going to freeze into a block of ice, and waste all that time, and then have it not useful for anything because it goes away. Boy, I just as soon have it no snow at all.
I'm with you, Pete. I'll tell you what. You know, it's aggravating. You know, well, you're the same way. You know, you want to get out when you do have snow and get a little bit of sledding in with the snowmobile, and I haven't taken either one of them off the trailer. It's, you know, you get to the point where you got enough snow and you just start to get a base with it, and then the weather changes and it's all gone, and it gets downright frustrating and aggravating. And yeah, I'm the same way. I, you know, if it's going to be like this, let there be no snow at all, I'd rather not have to fool with it than spend all that time cleaning it up and whatever, only to have the rain and the warm weather come would have taken it away anyway.
I've written about, I don't know, because I haven't got my electronics, my wiring and whatever fixed, so no odometer, but I'm estimating between the one I have in Lake Pleasant that does my Tundra, I think I put about 25 or 30 miles on that. I probably put 10 miles on my old Elan, and I probably put 150 miles or something on the one I've been riding here. And I got out, you know, in that early lake effect that we had before that melted. I went out twice, and then I got out in the, you know, what we had from the nor'easter, and I got out, and one ride was 45 miles, so it was an all-day ride, because I was, I spent two and a half hours, GPS said 2 hours and 17 minutes to go 3.7 miles, because I was clearing a trail from Shibley Road, down from Branningham, Shibley Road to Hosterville Road, it's called, down by the Moose River, and, you know, that was a big trail clearing thing, and then I did some other riding, but, so I don't really feel like I haven't ridden, and, you know, I think that was a really wise thing to do, and that I got to learn from that and do that again every year, by golly. Don't wait and say, well, it's not that great, it'll be better later, because it may not be.
Well, Roger on that. Yeah, you got to take advantage of it when you can. I know that's something I didn't get to do this season so far, but hopefully we'll get enough snow to get out and enjoy it. Get the sleds out and get a little bit of time on them, take some of the wax off them or something. Okay, well, Pete, thanks for checking in, and I'll make another call, see if anyone else is here to check in, and we'll go from there. This is N5AOW, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. Welcome for check-in.
This is N2WBX, in and out, just wishing everybody a Happy New Year.
Dennis, Happy New Year to you, N2WBX. I got everything all backwards and tongue-twisted around on that one. I hope you had a safe and enjoyable New Year's. I'll tell you what, I know we did, and I hope everyone else did also.
I reckon it was safe enough. I woke up again this morning, so I did pretty good. I'll be seeing you. 7-3 to all.
Okay, Dennis. Well, I'm glad you checked in, and good. Enjoy the rest of the holiday, and hope the rest of the week goes well. All right, we'll make a final call. This is N5ALW. Looking for check-ins. Anyone else care to check in? Well, I think during the holidays, everybody's out doing other things or just enjoying the time they have with family. Sounds good. Yeah, I got into a little bit of plumbing today. Got some problems sorted out a little bit with that. I haven't done replacement on it. I'm working everything up to it, putting sections together and making it a little easier to and get it all taken down and repaired, or taken down and replaced, I should say. That's pretty much it. But it was a good day overall. Get up and relaxed a little bit. My knees are killing me, but can't do much about that. Take a little brandy for it, or, you know, a little ibuprofen, and hope for the best. So, that's about it. So, we'll make a one more call, see if anyone else would care to check in, or if we have any queries, or comments, or late check-in. All right, hearing none, I'll now close the Black River Valley service net. Return the frequency to regular amateur use. I want to thank Pete and Dennis for checking in, all those that may have listened. 73s, and a happy new year to you. And 5AOW clear. AC2WI, and 5AOW.
AC2WI.
Pete had a question for you. Are you familiar with KDK transceivers?
Not particularly. I haven't seen one in quite a while.
Well, I got a friend of mine, an old ham. He's, he's still with us, but not for long. Can't operate much anymore. In fact, can't operate at all. But anyway, I've got a few of his rigs, and he's got three of them. And I guess I'm going to put them on, I've got them on Craigslist. You know, they come up, the displays work, everything. I couldn't seem to get receive or transmit out of them, although you can work the VFO and put the frequency where you want it. Just didn't seem to get any reaction from them. But I have no way of knowing what kind of condition or anything else. I got them on there for parts, I guess, parts of repair.
Sometimes you don't get anything for those, but I sold, I had a couple, and I don't know, one might have been, was not a mainstream brand, a KDK or an Asden or something, I can't remember, and I was surprised I got $30 or something. I put them on eBay, though. I don't know about Craigslist. Craigslist is good for certain things, but I think for the ham radio stuff, it's not, because there's not enough hams in the local Craigslist, you know. And when you go on Craigslist and you search, pretty much you search, you know, like here, I'm either going to be Utica or Watertown. Of course, either one of those will give you the results for the other, but they won't give you results for, say, Albany or anywhere else. So, you might get something, but you might, you know, you may have to put them on eBay to get any interest at all.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I've got a couple other rigs on there I put on that he had. One being a Midland 2-meter rig, and that always received and transmitted well, but none of these items have been active for a long time. They've been in, they only were up on a shelf in a closet. Same way with my Midland 11-meter base station that I put on too. And seems to receive well, but I didn't get into attempting to transmit with it. I didn't have an antenna that's resonant for it, so I didn't want to fool with it much. But I think you're right. It's probably a case where you got to go in and actually, you know, they've changed their categories on eBay, and it's kind of strange in a way. I found that, for example, you can go in with a specific item. into two or three categories?
Sometimes it's odd what comes up. When I was in the bar at the VFW on the, one of the TVs, Hogan's Heroes was on. I haven't seen Hogan's Heroes in forever, and I don't have, you know, a big full cable, and I don't have an actual antenna. I'd like to try and see if I could get any really off the air, but I'm right in the valley here, and when I first got here, I just put up a little folded dipole to see what would happen, and I get basically nothing. So my conclusion was I'd have to put up a big, you know, antenna, probably some amount of mast to get some more height, and a rotor, and I just decided I was going to end up with a, you know, huge project, and then who knows what you would get. So I never did it. But now, actually, in a way, if you can get it, you get more, because on the digital channels, you know, you usually get, you know, channel 9.1, 9.2, 9.3, whatever. And somebody said it was on one of those. You know, and it's on TV Land, I think, which is, if you got the right package, you get that on cable. But I haven't seen it in years. I kind of like to see it. And I did a search for, you know, Hogan's Heroes streaming, and a couple of results. And so one of the things come up, and you click on it, and it says, Amazon, you know, Amazon Prime. Well, it isn't really on Amazon Prime. You go there, and you type it in, and it takes you to the page where, you know, so that you can buy the videos, but the DVDs, you know. Oh well, I guess I'm not going to watch it. KC2WI.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been in situations like that with the antennas and through the years, and I don't know what I found too works. I've been doing a lot of wire antennas, inverted V's, or, you know, dipole and that type of thing. In fact, I work 40, 80, and 20, a little bit of 20 occasionally. I used to have a vertical I made for 15 that worked out real well. But even with the 2 meter, I made one out of copper tubing. Half-inch copper tubing. I made a J-pole. In fact, that's what I'm transmitting on now. And that seems to have done a pretty decent job. And I'm not up that far. I'm right up probably... Geez, I don't know, Pete. I think if I'm 16, 18 feet up off the ground, it's a lot. I've got another antenna that I put up is a little bit higher than that, but I just haven't run a coax back, you know, back to the rig with it. So, but maybe a wire, you know, inverted V or a dipole of some kind might work out pretty decent for you.
I was talking about TV antenna. You know, make those folded dipole, twin lead dipole. Actually, my grandfather used to do this, and if you're in where there's more signal, you take, and I don't know what the right length is, you know, you could kind of figure it out whether you're on low VHF or high VHF or whatever, but, you know, I guess the folded dipole, I always thought it was a bandwidth thing, but I think it's more of just an impedance thing is why they do it. You know, you'd really have a log periodic or something, because you figure even that, let's say, even if you go with a channel 2 through, what is it, 7, that starts at 54 and goes up in I think there's 6 megahertz of channels, or is it 4 megahertz? Well, anyway, you know, 4 times 7, that's pretty wide bandwidth. I think it's 2 through 7. I can't remember. But and then there's the split with FM radio in between. Well, okay, it goes from 54 to 88. And that's, you know, 2 to 1, basically, bandwidth, which for an antenna is, you know, that's really hard to do. But what we used to do is you take one of those and you take two strips of wood and a hinge, and you could take and Either have the dipole, you know, straight, or make it into a V, and it would make it directional and stuff like that, but not around here and not in the valley. But like I said, I couldn't get even, you know, enough of a hint of a signal, and so I never did put up a TV antenna. And of course, I don't have a digital TV, so even for me to try it, I got to get a hold of a, you know, a digital tuner, and I know I'd have to get some kind of a TV, real TV antenna. You know, I don't know, but not anything I can do in the winter anyway, but the best thing would be for me to get rid of the cable altogether and not waste any more time on it.
Well, you know what I did, too? I was fooled around with that, too, because I was a little disenchanted with Time Warner, and, you know, I didn't want to get back into, you know, DirecTV. As far as I'm concerned, I stay clear of that. I had too many problems with those people. But I went into Star TV here is digital, and it's high def. It, I went into, I don't know, antennas, TV antennas or something. Anyway, I went on the website, and I got one of these. You got to put it together, and it's made for high def channels and whatever. The doggone thing is small. It's only probably, I'd say, 24 inches across, and maybe equally as deep as far as the directors and radiators on it. And it's kind of funny looking thing, but it comes with an amplifier. One of them, well, there was two different models. One of them had the amplifier, and one had the amplifier and a little rotator motor in it. And it doesn't take much. It's cheaply made. You know, there's not a whole lot to it. It's aluminum and plastic. But you know, I put the thing up on two lengths of the old, the old Radio Shack mast type thing, and I set it alongside the back porch, propped it up. So it was only up maybe 20 feet, maybe a little bit more, but not much. In that doggone thing, I put the TV into programming, you know, so it picked the channels up. It actually came in with probably somewhere around 12, 13 channels, and they were high definition. You had, like you were talking about, you know, you get 2.1, 2.2, and so on, and you get into, when you get into the upper channels, maybe, you know, you got some, they come in high definition. I don't know how they phrase that, but you'll pick a channel and it'll have 0.1, 0.2, 0.4, whatever the case may be. And it was an excellent picture, and I was impressed with it. And it also, I hooked it up to the small analog TV I've got upstairs in the garage, and it worked fine on that one.
Interesting, although I don't know what there might be. There's probably nothing left on analog transmissions now. I think in Canada there's some, but that's true. I didn't think about that. You see, they don't want to use the FCC doesn't want you to use the they don't want anybody on channel 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They don't want them on the lower channels. They want to use that other stuff or whatever. And I think the upper channel is better in the sense that, you know, the higher, like UHF, the higher the frequency, the smaller the percentage bandwidth. So 4 megahertz on 54 megahertz is a pretty good percentage. But 4 megahertz on, you know, what, I don't know even know what UHF channels start at, but let's say 4 megahertz at 400 megahertz is, you know, a small percentage. So that's why that it works better, although propagation-wise, the lower frequencies are, you know, are better for distance. But that's true. Those digital TV antennas, they're not that big. it might be worth buying one and even just dialing a TV. Or, you know, I see on the you know, Lewis County online yard sales and stuff, people are selling small, you know, 17 or 21 inch or something, you know, LCD TVs for $50 or something. So it would be worth trying, but I need a tuner. See, I need the digital tuner, or one of those converter boxes, which are probably disappearing because everybody's got new TVs by now.
Actually, Pete, I don't think you'd need that tuner, that digital tuner. If you can get a small flat screen and just hook up to it, I did that direct to my old analog, that I think it's an RCA I've got in the garage, and it worked fine. This TV antenna, if I recall, was about $30, and that was free shipping or whatever the heck it was, $29.99, $31.99, somewhere in that area, and I was impressed with it. I really was. Because when I hooked it up to, Sherry's got a flat screen in the back utility room, and I hooked it up to that, and I put it into program mode, I'll tell you what, I was impressed with the picture. It was high def on, I would say, out of 8 channels, there were 6 of them were high definition, and they were crystal clear, absolutely phenomenal. And the couple that came in analog came in with no problem at all. They weren't quite as clear, of course, being analog, but it was certainly a very watchable picture. 5AOW for ID with W, or KC2WI.
Well, I might try that because I have, you know, I could put up 20 feet, or maybe, I don't know about 30, but 20, I could just take 2 10-foot sections of mast, put this antenna on, just lift it up and, you know, get it at least a reasonable height, and then all I need is, you know, I think you need a digital TV now, because that's to get the one channel, you know, you need a digital TV to have digital, receive digital. Old TVs are only going to receive analog and TSC, but anyway, it might be worth picking up one of those antennas, and that's the only way you're ever going to know. You just have to sample the RF in your location and see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, I got a friend of mine over on the island on the lake, and Cliff had, he had the old antenna probably up there for 30 years. That's just about how long I think he had set. But I was telling him about this, you know, and he said, geez, I'd like to try it. And I had that small one, in fact, he bought it off me. The other one I had, I put up, and it works great, and I've got that for backup if I need it, but he took that little antenna I was telling you about, and he went over there and he said, with the other antenna, he got 2 channels with it, and that was it. I think he wound up with 11 channels on this thing, and he says, I can't believe the picture I'm getting, and it was crystal clear. And I said, Cliff, you can have the doggone thing. He said, no, I'll buy it off you. What do you got into it? I said, I got about $30, and that's it. So, he couldn't beat it for the price. And, you know, when we used to put up those other antennas, the old Yagis that they made, I'll tell you what, it cost you more for the kit and more aggravation to put the thing together.
Yep. I think I might try that. And I think I might try something, because if I could get... The only channel that I would really miss, I think, is... on the cable is the channel 10, which is the Time Warner's news, you know, regional news channel. And sometimes, I mean, the weather is pretty good. You know, they cover. It's not just, you know, Syracuse or Watertown or wherever. It's you know, their whole is good. But mostly what I get on the basic cable is I got the TV stations out of Watertown. And then I think one or two are out of Syracuse, and then one, maybe two are Canadian. And so, you know, you pretty much get the networks, and then there's WGN and, I think it's WGN and there's one other, you know, sort of cable network, but that's about it, so. And there's nothing on any of them that's all that great, you know. And of course, PBS, but, I think they're up to something like 11 something a month, almost $12 a month for the basic cable. Started out at $8.50. So really, if I got rid of that, in about two, three months, I'd pay for the antenna. Of course, if I get a new TV, I'd have to do that. But I could, like I said, you see them every once in a while, small ones, people got a bigger one. And so even if it's only a 17 or 20, if I could get them for $50, use that as a digital tuner, you know, HD, digital, whatever, and it's a good for an experiment, and I've been kind of thinking of getting a little one anyway for the back here, but I don't have room for a big one. I'm going to be sitting at the table sort of watching it, you know, watching over at it. I got an old semi-functional analog, you know, picture to CRT TV over here, which is only probably a, I don't even know if it's 17-inch. But, so even if I, you know, if it does work and I go buy a big one, then that'd be fine. My TV is an old Sharp Lintron from 1980, probably the late 80s. It works perfect. It's, I mean, the picture is great, it's perfect, but of course it's an old analog TV. So I've been thinking of getting a new one, somewhat bigger, you know, anyway, although I can't really justify it. I don't need it for the digital stuff. You know, I just use the analog input from my VCR, and I use that because it has a remote control so I can flip the channels. But, you know, if I could get a bunch of the digital stations, it might be worth it. I might have to look into that. KC2WS.
Yeah, I think you're right. You can definitely pick up, you know, with the digital ones, you'll get those in. And with the analog, yeah, there's a lot of things on the analog still that's available that really is good information and good watching. I know we do that from time to time too. And even on the other one, on the one in the living room, it's not as clear, but, you know, it's certainly watchable, and the audio's fine on it, and the color is fine, so that's about all you can ask for. Well, I think I'm going to call it a night, and probably lean and watch program, maybe have another glass of wine, and take it easy, Pete. I certainly enjoyed the QSO, and enjoyed the visit tonight. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a good New Year's overall. I think I'll call it an evening, say 73, and I'll be clear on your final peak at 5AOW, KC2WI.
Calculator, KC2WI.
KA2WZ. Good evening, gents. This is KA2WZ for United County Traffic and Emergency Net. Looking for stations that would like to check in tonight with our traffic. All stations are welcome. Stations come now, please.
And 5AOW, good evening, Jack. I might just as well stick here and check in with you. No traffic. And Happy New Year to you.
Okay, N5AOW, hello Bob. Thank you for checking in, and Happy New Year to you as well. I think you had possibly a double in there. Any other stations that checked in or want to check in, come now please.
This is,
hi.
N2WBX, good evening, no traffic.
Okay, N2WBX, so, Dennis. I thought I heard somebody else in there, too. For another station, go ahead.
WI.
KC2WI, hello, Pete. Thank you for checking in. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody, actually. The other stations with the long time. Okay, thank you all for checking in tonight. Much appreciated, folks. Looks like the holidays are done for a while. We'll be back to the usual grind probably tomorrow. 7:30 to all. Have a good evening. Good day tomorrow. KA2 Zanzibar.